Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't take any offense by it, but did you all shower today?
Yes. I did.
Yeah.
What if I told you that other countries might find that weird?
The Men's Room Top 10.
I think most countries do.
The Men's Room Top 10.
10 global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe. Back in the good old days of the Victorian times where people were civilized, Surgeon Joseph Lister believed the best way to sterilize surgical instruments before carving you up like a Christmas ham was to put them in boiling, hot urine. And in case you were wondering, Lister, could that be the same name used for the mouthwash we know and adore today? You bet your urine-soaked toothbrush it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty. So these are some global hygiene practices that Americans might find it hard to believe. Has anybody here ever bathed outdoors?
Yeah, once in Mexico.
Showered.
Showered, yes. Not bathed, but showered. And with that, it was more, I'm in the shower to get sand off of me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Not full all soap and all that.
Lived in a summer place, and the outdoor shower was under the steps that went to the upstairs apartment. I was in the downstairs apartment. So both units used that shower because it was a garage. So everybody showered outside.
Right.
That was a little strange. Mosquitoes, by the way, love an outdoor shower.
That's the worst mosquito bites I've ever gotten.
That's their happy place.
If you get the right soaps so you don't taint the river, you can take a bar of soap and wash off of the river.
Anything biodegradable, Dr. Bromers, whatever.
Yeah, it says in some rural or developing areas, bathing in rivers, lakes, or communal water sources is daily ritual. The idea of washing outdoors, often in view of others, might seem primitive or unsanitary to Americans accustomed to private indoor bathrooms. However, for many countries, these practices are a normal part of life and are done in clean, flowing water. The act of bathing in nature is also seen as a way to connect with the environment. Not to mention the views are going to be better.
Well, sure.
You know, it's one of those things, it's like going to the bathroom outside. Like, what a lovely day it is outside. This is relaxing.
I will say, if I'm peeing outside and it's the daytime, I do, for whatever reason, take in the nature around me.
You do.
Man, these are beautiful trees. I'm
Even
sorry
in the
I'm peeing
night,
on
man,
you.
If it's a nice night outside, like, look at the stars. That's great.
Man, the moon is beautiful.
That's a nice breeze.
And the soundtrack is...
squat toilets. They're prevalent in many Asian countries that are viewed as a more natural and hygienic way to relieve oneself. They require the user to squat rather than sit, minimalizing contact with potentially unsanitary surfaces.
Yeah, I mean, the squatty potty took off for a little bit here.
Sure.
Once you find it, like, that's your more natural position for pooping.
Exactly.
It is easier.
I've never used one.
The squatty potty?
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. Are they?
Nice. Yeah.
I dig it. Sharing towels. You guys ever had to share a towel?
I've had to, but it's not
only because
right.
My roommate used mine because his was a wad on the floor, and I'd go in there and dry off with my wet towel from Chad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real issue, right? If somebody hopped out of the shower, I don't mind, but it's like, it's still damp.
Right.
So I don't feel like I'm getting dry, but I could see where people would do it.
Americans used to the concept of personal towels might view this as a breeding ground for germs. However, proponents argue that as long as the towels are properly sanitized between uses, it's a more sustainable approach than single-use paper towels.
I mean, if it is.
Well, duh.
If it is.
Right.
I mean, you know your own habits. Like, I didn't really sanitize it, but go ahead and use it.
Right, like if you were at my house and I only have one towel for some reason, right? Like, you showered and used it. I wouldn't wash it, but I could throw it in the dryer for 10 minutes and then be like, all right, it's fine.
Exactly. Would you guys reuse bathwater?
I would not.
In some parts of the world where water is scarce, it's not uncommon for families to reuse bathwater for multiple purposes. The same water might be used for bathing, then collected to wash clothes and or clean the home.
I mean, look, if you're water deprived, then absolutely.
Absolutely.
We just have it good here.
Right.
So.
Well, and we use clean water for dirty things. Like, there's no reason why the water in our toilet should be as clean as it is other than it's just visually appealing.
Correct. You know, think about what you drop in there.
Right. Other than the fact that it's in a toilet, that is potable water.
It is.
You know, so yeah.
My dog shows that every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, forgot to fill her water dish.
Why does she keep peeing in the toilet? The hell?
I mean, I guess you're right. I never really thought about it that way.
Right.
I mean, if it was already cloudy, I guess it wouldn't make a difference. It's just in the toilet, but you're right. It would freak me out. Like, what is wrong with my toilet?
Exactly.
I need clean water to drop poop in.
And even then, I wouldn't mind scrubbing the toilet if we used dirtier water, but like I said,
it's clean water.
It's water. Like, I'm about to destroy this thing. Like, I don't need it to be shiny nice. Other than sometimes I like to see just how bad I did.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, nobody outside of dogs drink it out of it, but it's not like, I don't know. This blows my mind. You're right. I mean, I guess it would be fine, but you would never be like, let's get some toilet water and do this.
One of the first times that came to my mind is when I was watching the first season of The Walking Dead years and years and years ago. You know, they're raiding houses looking for supplies and whatnot, and they grabbed a canteen and they went straight to the bathroom and opened up the toilet. I was like, huh, never actually thought about that. That's clean-ass water in there.
Yeah.
It's perfectly good water. Street food culture. Again, these are global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe. Hard to believe. Street food is a way of life in many countries, from Asia to Latin America. Vendors sell a variety of freshly cooked dishes from carts or stalls. While some Americans might question the hygiene standards of these outdoor kitchens, locals view street food as a delicious and integral part of their culinary culture.
And it's cheaper.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper and usually really, really good.
And I'm not going to lie. I've been scrolling on the TikToks or the Reels or whatever, and I've seen a handful of videos where there's street food. Now, there is some street food that looks good. And then there's other street food that I don't believe I'd touch.
Sure. I mean, but you make a judgment call just like you do at the grocery store.
Sure.
You know, if you're buying produce, like, typically you're eyeing it and you make a decision. Right. But, like, every time we go to Mexico, and it's weird, it's not like they're vendors necessarily, but for no particular reason at all, three neighbors decided, let's throw some cones in the middle of our street. So they've officially blocked it, like, no permit or anything. And they roll up flat tops and grills. They kind of throw an impromptu street party. But if they see you when you walk by, they encourage you to come over and eat.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them a little something in return, but I've never been disappointed by eating strangers' food.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, Bourdain used to talk about it a lot. He's always like, oh, I'll eat street meat.
Yeah.
This and that. So, I mean, I think it depends on who you are and what you're eating.
Sure.
But also, to me, I feel like, especially in Asia, it looks like they're always cooking it over a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this and that. So I'm like,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, I like stuff with a little char on it. My issue would just be, I would just pick out meat without knowing what the meat is.
Yeah, all of a sudden they just carve it off, and it's like, I don't even know what this actually is.
Right, like I said, like to me, the gamiest meat I've had was moose.
No.
So if I just had a skewer of moose and I'm grilling it, you wouldn't know. But when you bit into it, you'd be like, this is definitely not beef.
They say eating with hands. In parts of Africa, the Middle East, and India, eating with one's hands is the traditional way to enjoy a meal. There's often specific rituals around hand washing before eating to ensure cleanliness.
If you recall, right beside Pho Bach down by the old building, Market House Meat Area, they used to have an African restaurant right between the two, and no utensils.
Okay. It was Ethiopian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What's the bread?
I don't know. It's my neighbor's like Ethiopian, and she's now in like an old age home, but she'd hook up me and the wife like once a month, but it's all homemade stuff. I cannot explain how good it was.
Did she say you were Injera? Ethiopian?
What's that?
Did she say you were Ethiopian?
No, she never said.
All right.
I think injera. It's like it looks almost like spongy like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you like rip off pieces of that and kind of collect all the stuff or dip it in the salt.
It is good, man.
Nice. Dude.
Yeah, I like.
And I don't even know what I was eating. I did not care.
I like Ethiopian, but it's just tough, man. They enjoy their spice.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, you don't even. It's like at least I feel like in an Indian restaurant they kind of go, "Hey, just so you know, Ethiopian." I feel like everything just comes kind of spicy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe: avoiding nose blowing in public. In Japan, blowing your nose in public, especially loudly, is considered rude and unhygienic. People are expected to excuse themselves to a private area to deal with a runny nose. In contrast, Americans generally view nose blowing as a necessary bodily function that can be done discreetly in public. These different cultural norms highlight the varying perceptions of what is considered polite and sanitary. I get it.
It's not sanitary at all. We just don't care here. Right? I think we're just so used to it. I mean, think about it. You're blowing snot in your hands. And yes, I know you have a tissue, whatever. You're still blowing snot in your hands.
Correct. I still want whoever did it to go wash their hands immediately.
I would definitely prefer that.
I mean, I think one good thing to come out of the pandemic is people stop using their hands to cough in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You're touching group stuff or you're shaking hands with people. Like, go ahead and use that arm or that elbow.
Brushing teeth after meals. In some countries like India, it's common to brush one's teeth after each meal, even in public restrooms. Do you just walk around with a toothbrush?
Yeah. We used to work with, two people. We probably still do. There's no one that actually comes to work. But if they ate a meal here, man, they were in that bathroom brushing their teeth immediately.
Communal bathing. Nice. In countries like Japan, Korea, and Turkey, public bathhouses are a cultural tradition. Bathing is seen as a social activity to be enjoyed with others. These bathrooms have separate areas for men and women and maintain strict hygiene standards.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I bet it's the bathhouses, but they're co-ed and stuff. I think in our country, people just, they kind of are like thrown off by bathhouses. Because right in the 70s and stuff, it was a pretty big like gay hookup scene.
Sure.
Those people, shockingly, weren't cool to gay people. But, right, like, if you go to a Russian bathhouse, like the one I go to, like, you're still wearing a bathing suit. There's different locker rooms.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a, it's only.
There was a, like, for instance, when I lived on Capitol Hill, though, the gym I used to go to before it closed, like, there was a bathhouse next to that one. I would not go in that one to take a shower.
Gotcha.
Because there was an understood of, like, there's other stuff.
Okay.
Super clean, though. Those guys were nice.
Using bidets. Bidets, common in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, are used to wash after using the toilet. Many Americans view them as unnecessary or even unsanitary, preferring toilet paper. I'm not going to lie. When we got our house, it's one of the things that I'm looking at, like, I could probably put a bidet in here somewhere.
Dude, everyone that has a bidet or has used a bidet to a man is like, get one.
I don't think I've heard anybody say, dude, I regret getting my bidet.
No, I have not yet.
So
that'd be a weird statement. I regret getting my bidet. Dude,
and there's basic versions that don't control temperature or anything that you could buy that are pretty cheap, like $30 or $40.
Right.
And they're easy to install. But I'm with you. Every time I use a bidet, I feel filthy when I go to my home just use toilet paper.
I have yet to use one. Oh, really? I have never experienced a bidet.
Dude, there's nice ones, too, that you can control how hard it jets out, the temperature. The toughest thing about the bidet, honestly, is once it gets going, when you stand up, it'll stop. But if you're not used to it, you're kind of like, do I stand up? All right, it stops.
Removing your shoes indoors. Many Asian countries and Middle Eastern cultures, removing shoes before entering a home is a strict hygiene practice. Not to mention, just keep the doggone floors clean. Embracing natural body odor.
Oh, yeah, a lot of countries do that for sure.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to disagree with that one.
Yeah, I agree. Reusing clothes. Americans are accustomed to wearing clothes only once or twice before washing them. However, in many European countries, it's common to wear outfits multiple times before laundering unless visibly soiled or smelly.
But I feel like as Americans, we pick and choose, right? Like shirts, you're not going to reuse. Maybe you're going to the gym, you'll throw a t-shirt back on. But I don't wash my jeans after every time I wear them.
No.
And same with, like, my shorts in the summer. Like, you wash them, but not every time. But, again, T-shirts, though, it's like, I couldn't dare wear this again.
Exactly.
You're right. I'm exact same way, man. T-shirts, like, going in the laundry, whether they need to or not. But, pants, like,
T-shirts, socks, underwear.
Yeah.
Directly in the laundry. But, for some reason, pants, you're like,
they're fine.
You can get dirty.
Yeah, whatever. And then this is your final global hygiene practice that Americans might find hard to believe, and we just talked about it. Infrequent showering. Daily showers are not the norm in many parts of Europe and Asia. Some people view them as excessive and wasteful, preferring to shower every few days or as needed.
Well, a lot of that's advertising here in the States. Then it's that, look, soap companies, you know, they push the hygiene angle,
sure,
of it, right? And then it was different scented soaps. And since they did this big push, it's just ingrained in us that that's the hygienic thing to do. The rest of the world's like, it's not. Look, it doesn't matter, but you don't need to.
Even if you don't wash yourself, I like getting in the water to wake up.
Yes.
In the morning.
That's
just
a lot of
just
it.
Just feeling better. Like, when I get out of the shower, I always feel better than when I got in.
Agreed.
So even if you don't use that crap.